I'm Emma Curtin, host of a new true crime podcast called Murder Archives. It's set in Toorak in 1929 about the murder of Norma Rees-McLeod. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.
We have a new sponsor, Glenn, beyondrest.com.au. Now, these are flotation centres.
Oh, I love them. Is this where you float in salt water at body temperature?
Yes, you float in the tank, and there's several locations around Melbourne. Go to beyondrest.com.au for the deepest experience possible in Melbourne. Love-filled temples of relaxation.
Yeah, I got my house painted. Oh, no, I'll tell you what happened.
The outside of your house or inside?
Outside, because I've got... I don't want to...
$5,000? Or more, 10 or 12, 15. Well, expensive, isn't it?
It's real. I was surprised how expensive it was.
Because apparently you've got to get your house painted every 3 years.
I've got a weatherboard.
Same here.
There's an overlay in my area. I have to have weatherboards.
I thought we were wealthy, but we've got weatherboards, which is traditionally the house of the poor people.
Well, yes. Yeah, but in my area, I mean, weatherboard can look pretty groovy.
Oh, I love weatherboard.
Yeah. Anyway.
Because we all, of course, grew up in brick veneer houses, didn't we?
Most. Oh, well, I love a brick veneer. What does veneer mean? Is that the colour of the brick?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
I was talking about this the other day. I said to my partner, I said, that's the period I like, and it's a 60 brick veneer with the big windows and the...
What does veneer mean? Hang on.
Hold on. This is the definition of brick veneer, a covering of brick applied to a timber frame.
Oh, thanks, Sam. So thanks. When we call them brick veneers, they're not actually brick veneers.
No, it's just some sort of thinking over the top. I was thinking if exposed brick was brick veneer.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there we go.
Anyway.
House painted.
So house painted. And when I have people come in to do stuff at my house, I always sort of feel like I'm having something to do with it because I'm painting. Anyway, not because I'm painting, but because I'm there.
Yeah.
So I go out in the morning and offer them coffee. And you know what I like? He calls me boss.
Oh, yeah, boss. Yeah, the guy in the car park that I park in the city calls me boss. You know what I also get? Big guy.
You get big guy.
Thanks, big guy.
I wouldn't get
big guy.
No. Well, I do sometimes. I'm not a big guy.
Yeah.
Why are you calling me big
guy?
But
I am a big guy.
That's your general sort of name for people that you just want to make them feel good. I don't like sunshine either. How are you doing, sunshine?
You like mate? I don't mind mate.
I don't mind mate, yeah.
Champ?
Nah. Pal I don't like.
Tiger?
Tiger's not bad.
Dude?
Champion?
Champion, thanks, champion. Well, what about if you're a girl, you get sweetheart, love?
Darling, there's a line there that you just...
Well, if it's an old lady, you go, fair enough.
There is very much a door into creepy. There's a door into creepy.
Oh, legend? Legend a bit, wouldn't you? Thanks, legend.
Yeah, I do get a bit of that.
Yeah.
But not only with close friends. No.
What about cockhead? It's a good one.
Well,
term.
Are there cockhead? Are there negatives that you don't take offence to? I don't reckon. Hey, how you going? Would you go? How you going, dickhead?
Yeah, well, I mean, we were just on the Dum Dum podcast, and they call each other dickhead all the time.
Yeah,
if you want to tune in to hear us on another podcast, we're on that. So they use that in a younger people do use that word. G'day, dickhead.
It's how you present. It's the subtext.
It's a tone.
Yeah, but I don't mind. Hey, boss, I won't do the accent. Okay, I've slipped into a bit of an accent there. I won't do it again.
But what ethnicity are they? Italian?
Indian.
Oh, they're Indian,
and I love it.
Well, hard workers. They're a hardworking nation.
You can't say that, can you?
Indians aren't hard
workers.
I'm scared
of peace being inappropriately.
No, I think you can say Indians are hard workers.
He did a fantastic job. I've had my house painted twice, and this is brilliant.
Yeah, right.
And he kept saying, "You happy, boss?" Yeah, I'm very happy. What about that? Because he did a bit of washing, and then he did the deck with a non-slip.
Really good.
Hey, boss, how good is this? I said, it's really good. Do you want a coffee? And then he goes, he's already got a coffee. He's already brought his own coffee. He brings his own lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
low maintenance.
Yeah. But it took him, it was like a month. Month.
Yeah, right.
Coming and going. But always happy when you come, and there's someone around your house. Come out in the morning, someone to say hello to, someone walk down the stairs semi-naked, there they are standing in the backyard.
Hey, go on, boss.
Hey, boss.
I'll call you Big Boss from now on.
Uh-oh.
Sam. There's the music.
Yep, thanks, Sam.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Oh, well, welcome to a podcast, Somehow Related.
Yep.
Two topics. They are related. They don't seem to be related.
Yeah.
And so we should get them, I suppose.
And we are guided by the wonderful Sam.
Our boss.
Yeah.
Thanks, boss. What's going on, boss? What are the topics, boss? There you are.
Charles Darwin in office chairs.
Oh.
Charles Darwin.
You don't think of him as sitting at a desk, do you? Think of him on a boat in the Galapagos Islands.
Now, let's go
tortoises
back.
Tortoises and stuff.
Charles Darwin.
Mm.
Selection.
Evolution of
evolution,
man.
Survival of the
fittest.
Fittest.
I quote that all the time. Comedy industry, it is the survival of the fittest. But not necessarily the fittest. Just the people that keep going and they have talent, isn't it?
And do they evolve?
Sometimes.
Well, here's my theory on comedy. And I often... Anyone want to get your pen out?
Okay, yeah. Pen out. Kids, yeah. Gather around.
Gather around. Here's my theory if you're going into comedy. When you first start out, it's okay if you are influenced by...
Other people.
So it's like being a cover band. You sing other people's songs, yeah. A little bit. But in that you eventually come across the things you really want to say on stage.
Yeah.
You find your own voice.
It can take some people 3 months and it takes some people five years.
Yeah.
Generally, I find it's between 3 to 5 years.
Finding your own voice. Yeah. Because you go, you're just doing a bit of Husey, you're just doing a bit of Dave O'Neill. Yeah, you're just
Carl Barron.
Okay, yeah. And you go, and fair enough.
Who went quickly? I can give you examples.
I thought you were going to say who is someone who hasn't evolved.
Oh, no.
Because some people, I will say, have in stand-up and in television and have not evolved.
Okay, so someone like...
I'm not going to say.
But people take... but someone who did it very quickly was Jimone. So within a year of him starting, he was headlining his own shows with his own voice.
I don't know whether I can tell the story because I don't want to be out of school here, but he was talking like he does... He started off doing jokes.
Yeah, I know. He did old jokes, yeah.
And then were they chatting backstage with the great Bob Franklin. And Bob said, this is the stuff you should be talking about on stage.
Yeah. So, well, I just remember one of the girls I lived with in a shared house came back and said, we had this comedian at lunchtime and he talked about seagulls not having eyebrows.
Yeah.
And then it was just, boom.
Yep.
But someone like a friend of the show, Dave Hughes, we never had him on the show anyway, but he took at least... 5 years to get his own voice, you know, to get really good.
And what's dangerous is that if you are derivative with your sensibility, jot that down, derivative with your sensibility, and you do have a level of success, your ego won't let go of that sensibility because it wants to maintain the level of success. And it also goes, if I don't do that, the audience might find out that really I'm not that funny. So a lot of people evolve to a level.
And they stop?
Yeah. As I say, you're better... And this is, again, get your pens out.
All right, here we go.
Here's my another analogy. You're better off to... Because if you are, if you steal and hang on to it, you'll go straight to level four in the building of success, right? But if you start off... No, I shouldn't say start off. But at some point you go with your own voice, you can go all the way because... At some point, you've got to talk about the weird shit you got in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to talk about the stuff that you go, I don't know whether I should talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then when audiences go, hey, now you're being interesting, that's when you go, okay. So anyway, it's all on my DVD, my
book.
I've got a book. I've got a
talking book. I listen to your talking book. Oh, it puts me to sleep at night.
Yeah, and I've got you've got the DVDs. You've got
and you do one-on-one sessions if necessary.
I do one-on-one, and
they're quite expensive.
I've just caught myself sounding like I actually know what I'm talking about, and I really don't. The more the older I get, the less I know.
Yeah, I know.
So I apologise for anyone who thinks, God, listen.
Well, Charles Darwin, you're like a modern-day Charles Darwin. You study stuff. I mean, what did he work out, that we evolved from animals? That's what he worked out.
Yeah, and like you say, the survival of the fittest.
Yeah, but as fundamentals Christians would say, well, why are there still monkeys? Why aren't all the monkeys turning into humans?
Oh, hang on, that's a good point.
That's a good question, I know. Why? We're under the dinosaurs. I don't know, man. Anyway, I got to get going.
Because I was thinking about birds the other day. Like,
well, they're dinosaurs. They're related to dinosaurs.
If you had like an itchy nose, it's really hard to scratch bits with the wing. Like if your beak was itchy, I guess you could do it.
Birds are fascinating, though.
Because they are. Well, they were dinosaurs, correct.
They were lizards and birds are related to dinosaurs.
Did you know Charles Darwin came to Sydney?
Did he?
Yep. And Tasmania.
What for?
He was on a cruise.
Fares to the fun ship. he had enough of the buffet.
Call it a cruise? What do you call it when you get on...
He's on an expedition.
Expedition. Sam.
I didn't know he came to...
There was a famous... cruise line that he did and went all around the world on his evolution adventure. Sam, what was the name of the thing that he went on?
The Beagle.
Yep.
Oh, the Beagle.
Yeah.
Now, of course.
Was that the name of the
ship? That's the name of the ship.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And came to Sydney and
Hobart.
Well, not like, what's his name? Mark Twain
toured. We've talked about him before.
I don't reckon he was doing the pubs. I don't reckon he was doing a Darwin's Thursday night.
Yeah, dinner and Ballarat, show. Bendigo, Wagga, Dubbo.
Where are you going tonight, Dale? Well, Darwin's got a bit of a Charles Darwin. He's really good. He's got slides and he's got drawings. But he was very interested in the Aboriginal
culture.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, and the oppression and the survival of and the
okay.
So anyway, so there we go. So that's Darwin. And what were we talking? 1800s?
Yeah.
Mid 1800s?
Yeah. I assumed his book was a bestseller when it came out, was it? Was it like a bestseller or did people just take a while to get onto the old...
Hey, while we're on that, you reckon when you go to a shop and you see the top 10?
Yeah.
Do you reckon that's really the top? Is it just the books that they've got
excessive? At the back?
Yeah.
It's always the same. Barefoot Investor, Arndoe, Matthew Riley. It's like, well, what? Yeah, I know. Well, I've had books out, and books, it's a ruthless world. You get 2 or 3 weeks in those airport bookshops, and then you're gone. If you're not a bestseller, you're gone.
So,
and Kmart will get your book in. They'll order. But this is the thing about books. Do you ever walk into a bookshop and you look at the people that work in that bookshop and run the bookshop and you go, how do they make a living? Because they seem a bit whatever. You know how they make a living?
Hang on, what do you say? They seem a bit...
Well, they seem a bit...
Who cares?
Oh, no, they're a bit... They don't seem to be running a very effective business.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're like, how do these people make a living in these bookshops?
Right.
They can return their stock. That's how they make a living. So every book on that shelf, they can return. So it's not like fresh fruit. So if you're running a fruit shop and you get a box of bananas... You can't take them back to the market next week if they don't sell. But if you get a box of Dave O'Neill books, you can take them back the next week and get your money back.
Get your money back?
Well, I don't even know if they get... No, I don't even think they put up money up front. You get given the books, and when they sell, they send the money back. So they don't buy those books. Those books are just on assignment kind
of
thing.
So it's just a high
assignment. Yeah.
If it sells, good, but they'll see you later if it
doesn't. Yeah, they go back.
And where do they go?
Well, they go back to the warehouse, and then they ring me up, and they say... Well, when I've had other books about it before, they've been more blunt and they said, we're going to pulp your books.
Oh, that's painful.
Do you want to buy them off us for like 10 cents each? With my most recent book, they said, do you want to... do you want to... look, we don't have enough room in the warehouse for your books.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Do you want to buy them some off us? And so I bought tons of them. They're on my front porch because I sell them at gigs.
That's a great book. See, I had something similar happen where I sat for the Archie Ball for so many years ago.
Oh, jeez.
And she did quite a good job.
I'm sure, but that would be painful.
And then I walk into Channel 10. Channel 10's bought it and put it up in the boardroom.
Oh, my God.
I go, no, too weird. So then I get the feeling that Channel 10's had enough of it on the wall at the boardroom, rang me and said, we don't want it anymore. Can we give it to you?
What?
I went, I don't want it. So...
Now it's in the car park.
So then they took it to the auction joint, and then a friend of a friend saw it and rang us and said, do you want to buy the picture of you at the – and they said, it's only $300 and it's water damaged. I'm going, oh, this is just
– No, thank you.
No, thank you. When you do that, so if you just want it to go away, you don't want it.
You don't want that.
So, I mean, it's a first world problem. I get it. Don't yell at me. I get it.
But someone had a large photo of me and they rang up. They said, do you want this photo of you that I took? And I went, what am I going to do with it?
Yeah. Very, very first world, but anyway.
Anyway, so office chairs.
Office chairs.
Well, we're sitting on office chairs now because you know what defines an office chair? The wheels.
I didn't know that.
Makes an office chair. Yeah, so it's wheels.
That's when all the chairs get together. The office chairs go, I'm a little bit better than you. You're just a dumb old dining chair, but look at me. I can go around the room. I can be pushed backwards.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, when we have like a lot of people, we've got a long table in our house, and when we have Christmas dinner, my partner has to get out the office chair from the study and someone has to sit on that.
And someone starts
start wheeling. Well, one of the kids loves it. Oh, this is great. We need to get the office chair out.
Can you go over the sideboard and get some more wine? I won't even have to stand up. I'll just kick back.
Wheel, wheel, wheel.
Office chairs.
I think that's what defines an office chair is that, like, no, these ones we're sitting on have got wheels on them. That's an office chair.
Did you ever have a? Have you ever had a desk like in the real world?
Yeah. I worked at the Red Cross for 2 years as a like a field officer, which is like a public education officer. I had a desk. This is before the internet. I didn't even have a computer. And then I worked in public relations for a year and I had a desk.
Yeah, I worked at MLC Insurance Company.
Oh, you had a desk?
Yeah, I was VCM, Victorian Claims Manager. Maturities, Victorian Claims Maturities.
But see, we worked in the 80s where, you know, I remember one mate, we used to meet on Friday at the pub at 1 and not go back to our jobs.
Oh, yeah, no. That's an American friend came to live. He goes, "You can't. No one does anything after 12 o'clock on Friday."
Nah.
It's fantastic. It's like, it's our version of siesta.
Yeah. Loved having a desk.
See, here's my theory. I was offered a desk when I was working in television, and I said no thank you because the moment you've got one, you're seen to be not at it. So if I go off and go for a surf or play golf, I'm not at my desk writing sketches.
You've got to do that thing where you put your jacket over your chair and then just go home.
Smart.
Or my sister-in-law used to get a clipboard and walk around the office. Just look like she's doing stuff. Get the clipboard. But yeah, I know what you mean. And like when I go and work at the ABC occasionally filling in, they're hot desking now.
I know.
And that is really annoying.
They're not happy, are they?
No, they're not happy because it's too noisy. Yeah. It's like working in a call center. There's all noise going. All people are wearing headphones now.
So that's really, it's reverse in that people aren't communicating. They're all just doing their own. And what you do, you've got a portal for your computer. And you got is that it on the desk and a light, probably?
There's nothing going on. I mean, when I worked at the Red Cross, we just had the old desks, and a woman I used to work with, Selena Ong, used to sleep under a desk, George Costanza style.
Oh, yeah.
So you go in the room and I couldn't see her, then she'd just pop up, like post-lunch, after having a nap on the floor.
That is a good nap, though, isn't it?
Oh, if you can do it.
If you've got a little pillow in your bottom drawer. See, you wouldn't be able to have stuff in, you'd have to bring everything and take everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, I don't know. I think she had stuff in the cupboards. I think she had stuff in the drawer, a pillow and stuff. Anyway, Charles Darwin.
I'm getting something.
Okay, you're getting something? Do we need some thinking music?
What can we have?
I don't know, some Beagle-style explore music. Sea shanty.
Yes.
Yeah, I love sea shanties.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another pineapple under the tree. Bah, SpongeBob. SpongeBob-y type music.
I just felt like standing. I'm doing a little. I can do
a little jig.
I can do it. I'll show you the trick. All you do is you put your feet like this. Watch.
Yeah, I'm watching.
And you go like this.
Oh, that's sort of like line dancing, what you're doing.
You just cross your feet, then you shift your weight.
I love that music so much I got scurvy. I felt like I was on a ship.
Speaking of
convict class.
Scurvy. How do you get scurvy? By not having
fruit and vegetables and sunlight.
Wasn't there a comedian in Melbourne who got scurvy?
Chris Franklin, the bloke, got scurvy. And the doctor said he'd never seen it in 50 years.
He got scurvy.
He got scurvy from eating pies and chips.
That's a shame.
And alcohol, I think, is involved too with scurvy. Dad got gout. That's another gout.
Excessive, being excessive with the good life, isn't
it? Yeah, apparently. And he's not
and
a
you
big
get
drinker.
It in the toe. In the
yeah,
feet,
in the foot.
Extremities.
It's very painful.
Yeah.
So
I've concluded something.
Go.
Yeah. I'm going to say, because you know, there's this whole thing now on sitting is the new
cancer.
Yeah. I'm going to say that Darwin predicted that the sitting position was harmful to your well-being. So he's saying people sitting in, and he said, because back then it would have been people sitting in office chairs, and he would have said, you shouldn't do that too much because it's not good for you, and all the reasons that it's not good for you. It's like it can do terrible things to you for sitting for too long.
Yeah, I know. We should be standing now. All right, well, I reckon Charles Darwin, before he wrote The Evolution of Species, wrote another book called The Evolution of Chairs. And in that, he looked at how chairs evolved. From sitting on logs.
Right.
To stools. So
because they maintain that.
Because when did they come into history? What was that?
They maintain that if you.
I reckon only rich people had chairs.
I don't want to bring up an unsavory thing, but if you go to the toilet. Yeah. You're better off to be in a squatting position than you are in a sitting position.
Yeah.
And you don't. It's easier to bear down in that position.
Well, like they do in when you go to a toilet in Asia and Africa and parts of Europe, there's just a pit where people squat over.
Yeah, and it's
better for you.
Yeah, so I think your point could be interesting. Like monkeys, when monkeys sit around. Oh, Sam?
The ancient Egyptians have believed to be the first to invent a four-legged seat with a back better known as a chair. The earliest examples have been found in tombs dating back as far as 2680 BC.
How did the Egyptians have time to invent chairs when they're building those pyramids?
But they would have been, they've been pushing around rocks all day, and they would have gone, Keith, well, I'm worn out. I don't want to lie down, but I don't want to stand up. I want to sort of be halfway in between. Yeah. What can we do?
And also the supervisor would have had a chair.
Yeah.
You know, in charge of all the slaves.
So you see that rock over there? We could sit on that, but why don't we make this a version of that you could move around with a part where you could lean back on it.
Good one.
Like the guy when he invented the wheel. It's the same. You're going, this is as good as a wheel.
Fazzle. Yeah.
So...
Well, okay, should we get the answer?
Yeah, so what are you saying? You're saying chairs were a book.
No, he wrote a book about the evolution
of
chairs.
And I'm saying that sitting, he predicted that sitting in office chairs is going to be bad for your health.
Do you know the answer?
What's the answer?
Charles Darwin was a notorious workaholic, and wanting to save time in the office, he put wheels on his office chair. Before then, no one had thought to put wheels on a chair used in the office.
Charles Darwin.
So this, he's made your Christmas dinners different.
Yeah, he was the first person to put wheels on a chair.
Oh, that's fantastic!
Yeah,
you got to honestly. I just predicted it before when I said wheels and chair.
Yeah,
he put them together. Oh, that is brilliant!
What Charles a genius! What a genius! Oh, well, there you go.
Who would have? I wouldn't have. Oh, that's a really that was right in front of us, and we didn't see it.
First person to do it. That is a weird thing to look at a chair and go, "I should put wheels on that." Maybe. Are we missing out on something? Are there other things? I'm looking at a whiteboard. That's got wheels on it. Can we think of something else that doesn't have wheels on it at the moment? Brooms. They need a wheel. Oh, no. They've got
plastic bags at supermarkets.
Yeah, they should have wheels.
I remember when I was a kid, the ladies used to all carry that...
The shopping jeep.
Shopping jeep.
Yeah. Oh.
If they just said, no more bags...
Everyone gets a shopping jeep.
Everyone gets a shopping jeep.
I see them down my local shops in Fairfield, in Melbourne. Yeah, shopping jeeps with... you know who have... Hipsters have them these days. It's a bit of a hipster thing to go to the farmer's market in your Birkenstock and get a bit of shopping jeep action.
Because they carry a lot.
Oh, man. Some of those old ladies down in Fairfield have got dead bodies in America. I don't know.
Because they come from the day when there was only one car. The husband would take the car to the work.
And they walk up to shops.
Walk to the local shops.
Yeah, and get the tram or the train or the bus.
I remember, by the by, when I was asked to do an ad and... They said, oh, we can't do a creative meeting on the Friday because we're having our office chair Grand Prix. I'm going, you guys have way too much. Yeah. And what they do is they set a track around the office and then you have to push yourself on I'm going, you reckon it's a good idea? Seriously. I mean, I guess that sort of stuff.
You're going to have fun in an office.
No,
it's
you're
so
right.
Boring.
You're right.
They've got Charles Darwin's to thank for that. Oh, the chair. Oh.
God. Oh, the wheel.
The wheel. Glenn just wheeled into his an office partition.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Charles Darwin. Thank you for the office chair. We appreciate that.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I tell you what's painful, though, is if you do get you caught, you go over your own foot or something, or your own, if you wheel back out and you've got a coat on or something, you know, you get pulled off the chair. It can be very, very dangerous.
You know what, Glenn?
What?
There's a lot of tension and stress in the world.
Yeah.
But if you go to beyondrest.com.au and book yourself in to float in salt water, you will feel better.
You don't have to do anything. It will do it for you.
I've been in a flotation tank.
How did you find it?
I liked it.
Yep.
It's just, you just float.
Yep.
And you go to a state of, it's like meditating in a way.
Well, it's meditating for the Westerners who don't know how to meditate. It's letting go personified. Because you can't actually connect to a thought or a body movement. You just have to be in. If you've had a hot bath, well, it's a hot bath on steroids. It's fantastic.
And floating regularly has been scientifically proven to reduce blood pressure, decrease anxiety and stress.
Don't be scared by it. You're in a little pod in warm water, salt water, so you float, and it's in the dark. But hey, it's okay.
Yeah. You'll get out soon and you'll feel much better.
Yeah.
So go to beyondrest.com.au. There's premium flotation centres for the deepest experience possible in Melbourne. Imagine that. You get out of all that traffic and that grime and you get into beyondrest.com.au. When you worked in an office, did you ever play office cricket?
Yeah.
We used to play office cricket in the office.
What was the ball?
Oh, paper with sticky tape on it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because you've got to have a bit of fun. Did you watch that episode of Mad Men where they had the lawnmower, the ride-on lawnmower?
No.
And they run over a guy's foot? Because the good thing about Mad Men, did you watch Mad Men, the TV series?
I think you're making that up. Does Sam have that?
Yeah.
Is that scene... He intentionally ran over someone?
No. They were mucking around. It was a classic... It was like an office fun. And, yeah, it's horrific. Oh, should we hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just fucking horrific.
That's great. So they got John Deere as a client.
The good thing about Mad Men is that's horrific, that scene. But it's a great show because it's not like Breaking Bad, because no one gets killed or anything in Mad Men.
It was a surprising outcome there.
That is, and he's not right. His foot gets basically severed off.
Like. When I was a kid, when I mowed the lawn for Dad, I was taught to put on gumboots, which give you no protection. And yeah. I put my foot and it took the toe off, and not my toe, it took the toe of the boot off and just missed my actual toe.
I've still occasionally mowed the lawn in my thongs or Birkenstocks, occasionally, which is bad.
And I remember back in the day when dogs would do stuff in the street, and you'd get an old white one,
a lawnmower,
and you hit it with a lawnmower.
Oh, I still get cat poo in our backyard. It's like, it's the worst ever.
But it is a level of satisfaction though that you do get
when you mow the lawn.
When you hit a turd.
Oh yeah. But when I get children's toys too, I'm like, and then poor old Bob the Builder comes up smashed. Or a clothes peg is also what I get.
Poor old Bob the Builder's just sitting there just quietly on the back lawn.
He's getting his head cut off. Oh, horrific.
Hey guys, if you're looking for a new podcast, check out the Phone Hacks podcast with comedians me, Mike Goldstein, and Nick Capper.
Yep. Yeah, it's a podcast where we go through each other's phones, and we also have a special guest. We go through their phones. So the results are both cringy and funny.
Also sending hacks from each other's accounts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's been ruining our lives, but it's been highly entertaining. So make sure you get in on it. It's on the Nearly Network as well. Check it out.
Yep, please check it out because we've sacrificed a lot.